Just about jumped the gun there, Phil. Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Before we begin, as always, we have several announcements to make. We're going to begin, though, by showing you a fun video of thanks.
Life is a journey, not a
Hi, Cook's Memorial Church. This is Danielle Belton, Proud Principal of Paul Creek Elementary School. This week is Volunteer Appreciation Week, and I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Know that you have poured into our school community, donating hand sanitizer, breakfast for our teachers, and it doesn't go unnoticed. We're so grateful for you just taking the time to think about us and to pour into our school community. Thank you so much for your thoughtfulness and for being a blessing to us. Thank you.
Buffering, right? All right. How much more time does that have left, Dave? Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to punt this one, and maybe we'll get it to work next couple of Sundays. We're just rejoiced that the members of this church have touched lives in a real meaningful way at the Paul Creek Elementary, and we just hope to continue to do it in the years to come. A few more announcements, as always. Immediately after church today, we'll be making sandwiches for Roof Above. If you'd like to help out with that effort, you can speak with Audrey Brady, or you can probably just show up at the fellowship hall after church. I think that's probably accurate. Please plan on joining us. May 30th, 2021, as we're honoring our high school and college graduates. The June through August Daily Bread devotionals will be available to pick up starting next Sunday. We'd like to, the Cook's Men are going to be sponsoring a 2021 antique auto show on Saturday, June 12th. And Dale Lucky's going to share just a little bit more with us about some needs that we have as it relates to that.
Each class that we have at 100
Thanks, Dale. You've got Cook's Marketplace. Also, the craft show will be held on Saturday, June 26th, with more details to follow. If you'd like to place flowers in our sanctuary in honor and or of memory of a loved one, we have one date available. It's September 26th. If that interests you, contact the church office. And of course, the beautiful flowers in the sanctuary this Sunday are in loving memory of and to say happy birthday to Joan T. Thompson by Norman Allen, Donnie, and Joni. Those are the announcements that I have, so let's prepare now to worship the Lord. Finley's going to start us off.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down.
Thanks, Finley. Join me now in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to reign with you in power and glory, you sent your Spirit of truth to guide us into the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. Let your Spirit, our advocate, guide us still, preserve us from judgment, protect us from sin, and lead us all into your righteousness so that we might testify to the good news, fullness of life and joy for all through Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Friends, we'll learn a little bit more about this passage, but I say typically every week, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do that as the prelude, so to speak, to our prayer of confession, a time in which we corporately lift up our shortcomings to the Lord. And then toward the end, we take a few moments just to confess our sins inwardly to God in expectation of receiving His grace. So I invite you now to join me as we pray our prayer of confession corporately together. Merciful God, we confess there are times in which we allow adversity to dominate us. We permit our fears, our faults, and our desire for comfort to divert us from your purpose. Yet your word reminds us that in Jesus Christ there is grace, hope, and joy, even in suffering. Remind us today, O Lord, that we worship a suffering Messiah who has borne the entire cost of our salvation in his body on the cross. Rearrange our hearts so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may encounter endurance and build character in you. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we can know with absolute assurance that God has indeed done for us in Jesus Christ what we could not do for ourselves. He has borne the cost of our sin on his body, and to that end, we can breathe free and know that we're free from the bondage of sin. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Thank you. I didn't see you slide in, Kay. It's nice to have you. At this point, we have a special time just for kids, so we'd like to invite all the kids of our church to come and grab a seat on one of the crosses for social distancing, and Miss Petey's going to have a lesson just for you.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. How are you? Great. I'm going to play a little song for you that will have to do with Jason's sermon and our lesson today. You've probably heard it before. Probably sang it in church or Bible school or something. So listen to this.
This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Listen especially to the next verse. Heard that before, right? I've never heard that second verse, the one about Jesus, but I love it. So, who did they say is the light? Jesus is. Do you consider yourself to have a light that's shining? I hope you do. Well, what does it mean to let your light shine? What kinds of things should you be doing to let your light shine? Did you argue with your parents? Some people say yes. Should you not follow the rules at school? No, you shouldn't do that one either. What about coming to church? Should you do that? And love Jesus? Absolutely, we can do those things. Well, Jason today is going to be preaching about walking towards the light. We don't want to go into the darkness. We want to stay in the light. So let's see if we can shine this week. You're shining just because you're here today. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to show us how to shine. Amen. Thank you. Go back to your seat.
Well, as the kids are heading back to their seats, we now come into the time of the reading and proclamation of the word. And before we begin, I'd like to have a prayer for illumination. So just let us pray. Blessed Lord, we just ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you move in this sanctuary this morning, that you speak to us inwardly, that you allow us to know not only who we are, but that we're deeply loved by you. Allow the scriptures, reading, and proclamation to change our lives. In Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. I'll be reading the Old Testament, Psalms 4, 1 through 8, and you can follow me along. Make sure I get the words right in your bulletin. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will your love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Thank you, Dale. I think, like many of the members of this church, I'm very fortunate that I have a James in my corner. James Harper, that is, right? I don't mean to embarrass him, but James was by the other day, yesterday, really, to help me modify my smoker a little bit. Now, one of the things you might not know about me is I'm probably the most technically inept person you're ever going to find. I can't manipulate things in my mind the way that some of you are able to. Generally, when I start a project, it ends up in disaster and cursing. So when you have James around, it's a good thing. But James, as he was helping me modify this thing, was doing something I absolutely can't do. And and I was thanking him. He said, nothing to it. Nothing to it. Right? Well, sometimes there is nothing to it. We're all given gifts. You know, James may be working with his hands and figuring things out mechanically. Mine may be other things. But the truth of it, it just simply remains that we all have something that's easy for us to do. But there are things, a good number of things, that are hard to do. I think being a spouse, even with a perfect partner, is a difficult thing to be. It asks so much of you. So too with having children. There are some things, there are definitely things to it. And I'm here to tell you, Christianity is one of those things. You know, one of the things that I encountered coming into the church of Jesus Christ was that I thought that there must be a way that you do this, right? How are we Christian? And while I don't say that there's an absolute you have to do it method, the Bible does reveal some things. And I think what it very clearly reveals is a process by which, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we become authentically Christian. Now look, that's a different thing to say, and perhaps even a dangerous thing to say. I don't mean to proclaim or talk that anybody that says they're a Christian isn't. That's not my game. What I want to do is inform the church and inform really myself, looking at the Bible and trying to discern what is to it. What do we as Christians do? And to that end, I've kind of designed this sermon series, and I'm calling it Being Authentically Christian. Because I think that there are ways and actions and things that we do that differentiate us from the crowd around us. Now, that's not to say that those people are evil or going to hell. Rather, it's to say that we as Christians should be distinct. We're the salt of the earth. God has called us to be holy. Now, holiness is to be set apart for use by God. And that's what we shoot for in the Christian church. And a lot of people think that Christianity is just some kind of afterlife insurance. And while it is that, it's so much more. But there are things that we do. There's buy-in. And one of the things that we believe is that that's the work of God in us. And we rejoice that. In that. But as I've said, I think there's kind of a method and there's a way to do this. And of course, in week one, we talked about reaching the end of ourselves, how it's necessary for us to come to the end of what we can handle. Now, look, that end may be sin has broken us left us devastated. But it could be that life in general has somehow worked against us. Maybe we've lost a loved one or a job, or things just don't seem to be right in our soul. Like, these are the things that we know, as Christians, that we can actually be free of. But it takes this process. We've got to surrender, get to the end of ourselves. Then we've got to realize truly that there is a God that cares about us. Now look, sometimes that's an easy thing to see or feel when you're in church. But gosh, get outside these doors on a bad day and it's a whole nother thing, isn't it? It is the case often that we don't turn to God for help. And so what repentance, that what we do is we recognize where we're wrong, and then God shows us and reveals to us a path away from it. That is what we're talking about, and how do we live this wonderful life in Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing is we get an honest assessment of who we are, a real honest to goodness, genuine, dive in deep, probing of who am I? What am I? What have I done in my past, and what will I do? What am I aiming to do in the future? And you do that walking alongside God. And there is, of course, a warrant. The warrant is what I read to you earlier, and I'll come back to it now, reading the actual text of the Bible. I read from 1 John verses, well, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Hear now the word of our Lord. This is the message that we heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was about 23, I think it was, I had a great roommate. Unfortunately, we had an apartment with just one bathroom. And I started to notice that there in the drain were a lot of, you know, hairs from your head. And I'll tell you what, when that first started happening, I thought, gosh, my poor roommate is balding. Right? Little did I know. Well, fast forward several years, and it just so happens that the photographer at my wedding is taking pictures much like here from the balcony. And I'm showing the kids the pictures, and I look and I see what y'all have been seeing for the better part of two decades. I'm bald, right? I know, right? Well, that awareness eluded me, but was the fact any different? No, it was still the case. Well, in a similar way, sin is kind of like that. Just because we look around and say, oh gosh, everything's fine, doesn't necessarily mean that it is. In fact, the Bible says that's the place that we're wrong, that we're lying to God. We're lying to ourselves, additionally. That's what 1 John is coming to. This sense, this understanding that it's only through our admission of sinfulness that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, turn toward the light and away from the darkness. And to that end, there's some things in work that we, I think, need to do. You know, in the life of the church, this process, and it is a process, is called sanctification. And there's a lot of things out there on sanctification, but what you should know is that it is quite simply the process by which the Holy Spirit makes you holier. All right? God, believe it or not, isn't done with you. God's got an amazing and wonderful full life for you right now. The key is, unfortunately, as we've talked about, you got to let go of some things. You got to let go of your belief that you can do it all. You got to let go of the belief that God isn't going to help you. You've got to walk into the belief that God now is making the decisions in your life. God has restoring your will. And God is also making you more holy. Now, look, we sometimes get sanctification mixed up a little bit. We put it in the category of justification. So let me just take a moment to define those two. Justification occurred 2,000 plus years ago as Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, suffered, and died. You are, by that act, justified. Do you understand what that means? That means your sins are forgiven. First, Romans has it very clearly. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. You see, that's just it. Turning from sin, being sanctified, gets to mean that you enjoy your relationship with God more. Friends, as I've said, our goal in being a Christian shouldn't be getting into heaven. Why not? That one's handled. If you believe with your heart and confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's Romans 10:10. Okay? But what now? Do we just wait out the rest of our lives, biding our time until the kingdom? No, God isn't done with you. God wants very much to share with you his life. John 1:4, in Jesus, that is, was life, and the life was the light of all men. Again, in John 10:10, we read this from Jesus. Therefore, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This justification is the first step. But God wants us to have that full life. And to that end, he is gonna sanctify us. Where John Calvin really drove this point home. He really came to the formulation that's maybe a little too far for a field for the Bible. But, I mean, it was his belief. Calvin believed that where there was not a spirit of sanctification, there may not be justification. What he was saying, it's a very clever way of getting at, ye shall know them by their fruits. All right? And what Calvin is saying, the way that you know you're justified is that you're growing in Christ. That's sanctification. And where you see one, you know the other exists. Where Calvin would go so far as to say, where you don't see sanctification, you don't see justification. I think that's a little too far out there. We may be catching someone in a difficult time of their life, in a time in which they're living in a reprobate way. But I don't know what they're going to be like in 5 minutes, let alone 5 years. So we can assume in a way that this sanctification is going on. Friends, as this sanctification occurs by the Holy Spirit's power, I think it comes up with a goal, an aim, an end. And the first is to consider your life and to dive deeply into it. Examine your ways. Consider how you've fallen short of the glory of God. There is, in fact, a scriptural warrant for doing so. Meaning that as we read the Bible and we put various pieces of them together, we come up with what we could assume is a warrant for this kind of work, this self-examination, this grinding into who you are, looking at yourself not as the hero, but as the enemy. Considering yourself not as the good guy with the white hat, but rather considering yourself being the villain. Now, look, I don't think we're villains. I don't mean to imply that. But I do think every one of us here does a little something like this. I think we all get to that point and we say, oh, well, I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm not that holy. I'm not that good. But I'm not Hitler either, right? So I'm not the best and I'm not the worst. I'm good. Sound right? Well, that's, again, not necessarily a very biblical way of thinking. Now, look, some people will say that one sin is just as bad as the other. I don't think that's true. But what I can say is they all fall into the category of sin. And here's the thing. God hates sin. God is so holy, so pure, so righteous, so different than us that he can't even stand darkness. That where he is nothing but light. And God wants that for you too. God wants you to dwell and walk richly in his light. And to get there, you're going to have to go back into the past. I know, we don't, any of us, like to dredge up the past. But if we're going to get a sense as to where our sin is, it's something we need to do. And again, trying to sell people on looking back at their lives and accounting for their errors is never an easy task. But let me tell you, on the other side of it is growth in Jesus Christ. You grow more as you realize there's something to it. There's something that we Christians do. Now, the scriptural warrants, as I said, are there. We look at one of them in Proverbs 4. I read now Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you all crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Proverbs is an awesome book. I talk about it quite a bit, so I'm going to assume that I've shared this, but I'll do it very briefly. Proverbs is Old Testament wisdom literature, written ostensibly by Solomon. And so what we find in the Proverbs is instructions for how to live life. That's its number one driving point. It sets up for about 10 chapters with just blanket kind of guidance and advice, and then it goes into what we probably think are the Proverbs, the two quick layers of script that have some kind of clear moral meaning. Well, Proverbs, which is concerned with living a godly life and how to do it, not how to think that you're doing, but how to do it, how to do the deal, it suggests examining your life. Consider your footsteps. Where am I walking? Where am I treading? What could I be doing differently? Another instance where the people of God sought this out, this self-examination, this probing into the sinful hearts of themselves, occurs in Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is another book we probably don't read a lot of. Of course, we know Great is Thy Faithfulness is a hymn that comes from that. And so I think most of us probably know that part of Lamentations. But Lamentations is tough to read. And it's tough to read because it comes at the very lowest point in Israel's history. Jerusalem has been completely sacked, the temple desecrated, people are being carried off to live lives in exile in Babylon. This is ground central bad. But Lamentations is not a book that's particularly concerned with today. Instead, it looks more at a farther perspective with the how can we come back into living godly lives, right? And here's what it says. Lamentations 3, 40 through 42a. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. See, here what we find is in this low moment, people doing exactly what I'm talking about. Turning and trying to figure out how they can lead more godly lives. Now, leading a godly life not going to keep us away from suffering entirely. First Peter talks about this. But what we can know is that when we suffer for doing right, we suffer like Jesus Christ, who we know suffered unjustifiably. He did so, taking the sin of the world onto himself in order that we could be saved. But that's not where he wants to leave us. Salvation, as I said, isn't the only goal. Growing your relationship with Jesus Christ is. And as you reflect on your life and you consider where you've gone wrong, you will find fruitful ways to change the future. The final scriptural warrant for undertaking this, I'm going to pull from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now look, I get that this passage is, or this beatitude is really kind of reserved in our minds for people that are mourning lost loved ones. That tends to be the way I think about it. But there are other ways that we mourn. And part of what we mourn when we analyze our lives and take an inventory kind of in a way, what we find out is the good from the bad, the silver from the dross. We are able to identify what in us was wrong, and then we mourn the person that we were because we know that Jesus Christ is doing something else with us. God is changing us, to be sure, day after day. So in the Bible, there's something to it. It means this self-examination, this life of going through our lives and considering where we've sinned. And that's a pretty big mission. And I don't want to send anybody off into it without a couple of ways that I think are good to do it. Because I hope that the Holy Spirit is stirring in you. I hope this is something that you consider breaking off and taking some time to do. There are a lot of excellent ways that we can do it. The first one, of course, is to take out your Bibles. Remember that if we as Christians are living, we're living for Christ, and thus He is our example. We pick that up in the scriptures. And so if He's our example, then we know that we have to live our life in a different manner. And so how do we do it? Well, first of all, this is work that absolutely requires a prayer life. This is something you want to grab hold of and run off and do right now, but you're not in a disciplined practice of praying at some point during the day. I encourage you to pick that practice up first. Because this is a tough thing, to look at yourself and to really try to find the ways that you've gone wrong is going to take fearlessness. And there's only one entity, one power, one source of fearlessness, and I got to believe that's God. I read from Joshua. Joshua has a great moment where God tells him these in Joshua 1, 8, and 9. Joshua says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." God is going to be with you in this work. You don't do it alone. And that's why I say take up this practice of prayer if this is something that's pulling at you, that you think like you need to do. Well, let's sit down and figure out a prayer life that'll work for you. Not everybody is capable of waking up at 5 in the morning or staying up at night, but there is a way that you can begin that fruitful practice of prayer. The second way to do it, I think, is to grab the Ten Commandments, right? And so you look, if that's the positive, if those are the things that we're not supposed to do, we can line up our lives according to them. Now look, I get it. I haven't, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. There's some great books that can help you. There's one called, it's by Stanley Hauerwas and goodness, I'll have to find that book for you later. But it basically takes the Ten Commandments and teases out some ways that we might see ourselves running afoul of them. Again, I think that's a helpful resource. The other way by which we can come up with this work is to take the seven deadly sins and look at them, maybe take a day, take a week, and consider them in your life. Now, unlike the Ten Commandments, which are found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 10, we know that the seven deadly sins aren't recorded in such a neat manner, but they are there. If we'll read the scripture, what we find is a very strong admonition against anger, greed, gluttony, lust, pride, sloth, and covetousness. I think that's it. Lust, sorry. these seven ways become for us then a rubric by which we can start lining up our lives. And again, there's some great workbooks that can help you do this. Again, the point is not to really think of yourself as the lousiest person that ever lived. The point is to be free of what has drugged you down. And what has drugged you down is the sin, and it's bad enough that it's out there, but you've also got someone out there working against us. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter writes, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." See, you've got something, a force working against you. That's why you need to be fearless. That's why you need to be courageous, knowing that God is with you. But you do need to be watchful. That's what Peter leaves us in this process of going through the sins or going through the commandments and really trying to figure out what has historically been the difficult sins of my life. When you reach that end, oh my goodness, you can really live free and do something with it. There's a third way to figure out. Now, this one, it may take a little bit to kind of realize. It took me a while. So I was complaining about to my wife about someone. Not here, not in a church context at all. So let me start with that. And I think, the outlines of what I was saying was, well, the kind of guy is kind of loud and he's kind of opinionated. And that's when I realized, that's me, right? So if you have people in your lives that are irritants or irritating to you, try to identify what in them is the problem. Not that you're out to judge them, but you're out to see, is it there? And I guarantee it is. And I don't make many guarantees, but when I look at Romans 2, I can't help but think, yeah, I can find something. Romans 2, Paul writes, "Therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things." What Paul is telling us here is if people bother us because they talk too much, may be the case that we're talking too much, right? So there are a variety of ways to take on this work of doing an inventory, of looking and being deliberate and considering, starting from the point of view, I'm a sinner, but where do I sin? And that's a scary thing. I recognize that. But as I've said, Jesus is with you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is with you because he wants what's best for you. God wants you to have a full and wonderful life. In John, Jesus Christ tells us that he has come to give us life and to give it abundantly. Later in John, he says this, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's what Jesus wants for you. That's what Jesus wants for everyone. But it's a process. There is something to it. But when you reach the end of the work, when you really get a sense on where you've gone wrong historically in the past and where you're going wrong today, you have opened up a pathway. See, the first step in solving any problem is to recognize you have it. And until you start thinking about, where do I have a problem with greed? Where do I have a problem with envy? Where do I have a problem with pride? Your mind is going to let you basically wander and say, oh, you're not ever have that problem. Do we? No, we probably do. I think of a particular scene from a movie that always strikes my mind when I think about sanctification. Now, I was a big fan of The Lord of the Rings. Those movies now go back 21 years. I can't believe it. But there is a warlike, a good warrior king. They're the horse people, the riders of Rohan. But as we meet him, he's decrepit and weighed down by age. And there's an advisor, a smarmy guy, worm tongue, who comes up to him and is really guiding him. As it turns out, this particular guy is the guy that's talking to the king is a bad guy and really poisoning him. But in walks Gandalf, And the effects of worm tongue's spell wear off. And he is magically rejuvenated in a way that's visually stunning if you've seen it. He becomes, moves from being like a 100-year-old broken down to being, you know, mid-50s, kind of in good shape, ready to go fight evil, right? Well, that's fiction, and it was neat to see. But I got to tell you, I've seen this play out in real time as well. I think of a good friend of mine named Amy. Now, Amy, when I first met her, was a little bit of a disaster, that's to be sure, but I was too, so it kind of, you know, made sense to be friends. Anyway, she undertook this process, this taking this inventory, this looking and examining, and then followed it up with some other action. And I wish you could meet her. She is the most wonderful, bubbly person you can imagine. But if you'd known her 20 years ago, you'd have thought she was a foul person. She was angry a lot. She swore. She was mean-spirited. She's different now. You see, God didn't want Amy to stay where she was. And so God did what God always does. Dispatch the Holy Spirit and to begin that arduous work of sanctification so that she and you and I can grow in grace to find our lives transformed. That's the word the Bible uses. So that we can now enjoy whatever remaining days we have left in anticipation of the kingdom that comes that never ends, in which all of the joy and good of this world goes on forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we lift up to God our prayers of intercession and supplication. Join me now in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that before there was anything, there was you, O Lord. Speaking your powerful word, you brought into existence everything we'll ever encounter. You did so not for your enjoyment, but, O Lord, you did it for ours, Heavenly Father. We rejoice at this gift of creation that you've given us stewardship over. And we pray that you would continue to help us do that holy work. Heavenly Father, we live here in a world remaining that is broken still by sin, and we ourselves suffer with it. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives. Give us the fearlessness and the courage to thoroughly examine our lives, considering where we have strayed from you, where we've done what we shouldn't or left undone that which we should. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Spirit, innervate us to this work. Point us in your direction so that we, as your word reminds us, can be imitators of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we continue our prayers for this world. And gosh, as we turn on the news or open our newspapers, we see that war and strife have broken out in certain parts of the world. And so we pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that in the Middle East and in all places where violent actions and rhetoric are the norm, that you would descend with your Holy Spirit, bringing a peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh Lord, we just ask that you heal up this world just like Jesus healed us from sin and from death. We ask that you set right that which is wrong. Oh Lord, we pray for all of those folks who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. Oh Lord, we think especially about the peoples whose lives have been so awfully affected by COVID-19. We continue praying for them, for those that have lost loved ones, that for those that have had it and lost abilities or aptitudes, for those who've lost loved ones. So Heavenly Father, we pray for them. And we pray that you would continue your process of bringing COVID-19 to a swift end so that we might continue to gather again with our brothers and sisters in Christ without a thought for masks or social distancing, so that we can hug and show the love we have within this community to the world. Oh Lord, we think especially of individuals in this church as they struggle. Oh Lord, so to that end, we pray for all of the names on our prayer list. We don't know quite what's going on with everyone, but we do know that you do, Father, and that you're providing. And so we ask that you continue that. We lift up by name today Joy Hilton. We pray for Debbie and Dennis Abernathy. We pray for Pauline and James Harper. We pray for Melva Thompson. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Ruth and Nelson from the Caggiato Children's Home. We pray for Larry Crump. Heavenly Father, we pray for Clay Hetty. We ask all these things in your name, Jesus, and we ask them all with the expectation of your coming kingdom, and we make them all, concluding with the prayer that you yourself taught us, and we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, at this point, we would normally pass the plates, and worship is working on getting some ushers. So if you get a call, I just ask that you consider it, because we'd like to start passing the plates next weekend. And so if you're called and asked, we hope that you'll say yes. For this Sunday, as it has been the case, we've got ways that you can leave your offering both here and on the way out. Just ask you to remember that God does indeed love a cheerful giver. Friends, when we dredge up the past, we think of it as a negative thing. When we look and find those places that we've done wrong, we may want to hide. But the only one that we would be hiding from is ourselves, because God knows, and God has already forgiven. So I encourage you, take up this holy work. Find yourself being moved by the Holy Spirit to know that you are fallen, but that you are loved, and that God is working on you even now. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.